Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Granlund's going to get it back. He turns away. A headman feed. Oh, Zetterlund lost his stick. Otherwise, he would have been gone. So Raquel gets it back in. Trouble. Here comes Carlson to the right. Crosby the shot.
Oh,
what a save by Mackenzie Blackwood. And a tremendous stop off of Crosby with 2:09 left in overtime. Okay, here comes Malkin. From one superstar to another. Yevgeny Malkin had a goal taken away from him earlier in the game because of an offside. He would love to atone for that right now. 2-2 in the shootout. What a duel. Here comes Malkin against Blackwood one-on-one. Stick handling, waiting, shooting, score.
Yeah, I haven't got an update from the trainers yet on VTech. Just totally what's come back. Outstanding by Blackwood. Outstanding. Some saves that, you know, some of the best saves you'll see in this league this year, I'm assuming. Keeps us in the game, especially there in the third. When we battle back to make it 3-3, they're going to give up a grade A, and Crosby makes that play in the middle of the ice. I think he gives it to, what, Raquel maybe, but it's a hell of a save.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? I've got a little interesting thing to acknowledge with the San Jose Sharks right now, and that is that they are pretty fun to watch for the time being. And for a long time, the last two seasons, that was not something that we could consistently say because the Sharks were not a particularly fun watch. They could be entertaining, but you weren't really, you knew there was a very low probability of them walking away with a win. And there's not to say that there's a high probability of them winning a game now, but even in a loss like last night, you're getting some pretty fun, entertaining, you know, consistently something, a product that you want to watch. And if we look at the Sharks, you know, in the month of November, since they've, you know, been starting to turn things around, if we just go back to that 3-2 loss to Vancouver, that was a game in which they were down, came back, found the ability to get themselves into the game late and made it 2-2, only to concede a goal with what, about 25 seconds left, 30 seconds left. Still an entertaining game all the way to the finish. You know, the next game against a team in Columbus that was, you know, beatable for San Jose, they took care of business with a 2-1 win in overtime. They went against a very hot Minnesota Wild team and lost 5-2. But you know what? Macklin Celebrini had two goals in that game. That was fun to watch. Then we talk about that trip to New Jersey to start off this four-game roadie in which the Sharks get a 1-0 win. That was a very fun, entertaining game that I think everyone appreciated. And Mackenzie Blackwood showed just how good he could be. And then in the next game, the Sharks rally from a 3-0 deficit against Philadelphia to get a point and take it to a shootout. They don't get the win, but still they prove, you know, they can take 3 out of the first points on the road trip. They fall behind against New York by a score of 3-1 after taking an early lead. They give themselves a chance to get back into it. They score late on the 6-on-4 after they'd pulled their goalie. They've still got an opportunity to get a point late in that game. They're unable to do so, but, you know, you're very entertained and encouraged by it. In this one, this is a game where you fall down by 3-0 early, and once again, the Sharks come roaring back to life, earn a point out of this one, and you feel like, hey, this team has a strong sense of belief. This is not the same team that a year ago was getting blown out by Pittsburgh and blown out by Vancouver and was going to the East Coast and losing big to Florida and Tampa and, you know, Carolina. This is a very different team, and that's why I think that we're all enjoying what we're watching right now. And then these next four games, you know, they come home for one against Detroit on Monday night, and then they're going to be at Dallas, at St. Louis for two before they're back home against the Sabres on the 23rd for Joe Thornton night. You know, that's an encouraging stretch of hockey. You know, that's something that I think we can look at and say, okay, they can beat Detroit at home. Detroit is still, you know, stuck in that rebuild process. Dallas and St. Louis on the road, those are going to be tough games, but they've already played Dallas tough once this year. Why not do it again? And then the Sabres, I think, are a beatable team as well, and it'll be an emotionally charged night for Joe Thornton. And then you continue on from that. You're home against the Kings, you're home against the Senators, you're home against Seattle, and then you go out onto the road against Seattle as it takes us into the month of December. But yeah, I mean, this is a Sharks team right now that is giving you something to watch. I mean, let's go no further than Mackenzie Blackwood. He has been performing like one of the best goalies in the NHL. And last year, my contention with Mackenzie was watching him and just saying he's not getting the defensive help that he needs. He needs more than what he's getting. And that is in terms of the defense in front of him. That was in terms of the offensive support. He was always walking on a tightrope of trying to keep the Sharks in the game, getting peppered with shots. And that was not always a fair situation to him. But, you know, life isn't fair when you're a goalie in the NHL. I don't think anyone is going to argue that it is fair. But this year, just getting a little bit better defense around him, getting just a little bit more offensive support. Not a ton, obviously, because the Sharks are not a goal-scoring team. But, guys, he's really, really good. And I don't know what his future with the team is. I don't know if there are going to be other teams that come in with monster offers for Mackenzie Blackwood, later in the year. But he is performing at a remarkably high level. I mean, we just look at his recent performances and think to ourselves, man, this guy is being absolutely phenomenal. You can't not appreciate everything he's doing in his game. If we look at last night's game, 26 shots against, one goal, 25 saves. Then we look at the game against the Rangers, in which he saw 35 shots against, 33 goals that he allowed, but I'm not putting those on him. That's a .914 save percentage. We look at the game against New Jersey, in which he gave up nothing, 44 shots against, 44 saves. The game against Vancouver, he saw 28 shots, gave up three. I'm not holding that against him, and I think that if you give up three at home, especially one coming up in the last 30 seconds of the game, that you probably deserve more offensive support. The game against Chicago, he made 27 saves, a .931 save percentage, only two goals allowed. The Utah game, some of those early ones, I think he wants back, but that was the last game where I thought, Mackenzie's not on. Since then, he's been phenomenal. And if you just look at what he's done up to this point of the year, you know, he's just putting up great performance after great performance after great performance. And I think that's a guy who is leading the way for the rest of the team. He is playing absolutely phenomenal hockey. And I know it's different because he is a goalie and not a skater, but still, he is showing the Sharks an avenue in which they can win almost every time that he takes the ice. And that's saying, hey, give me a little bit of offensive support and I'm going to give us a chance to win. And so I appreciate everything that he's doing in the moment right now for San Jose. And it is really fun to watch. But again, that takes me back to my point of the Sharks being really fun to watch. And they've been really fun to watch since they got that first win against Utah back on the 28th of October. And even the games before that, the only ones that were really discouraging were the losses to Winnipeg and to Vegas. Otherwise, the Sharks have been very fun to watch. But I think it goes back to what Ryan Warsawski said in training camp, is that they were going to be, you know, a hardworking team. They were not going to be embarrassed. They were going to give it their all every night. And that's what we're seeing, honestly. Yes, they got beat bad twice this year by two good teams in Winnipeg and Vegas. Other than that, they continue to put forth really good performances, and this is not what was there a year ago. And I'm not overly comparing to a year ago because I know it's not always the most valid comparison at this point in time, but it's hard to look at the Sharks and not see how much different their response to adversity is in games. And that's something that I keep on looking at and thinking to myself, okay, last year when things got tough, they would kind of wilt. They would not know how to respond in those situations. They would not know what to do to handle that specific moment in the game. Whereas this year, they might get behind, but then it seems to kind of step up from that point on. They're not letting the games then get out of control and get away from them. In fact, when they have a point of the game where it's the most critical juncture, where suddenly they go down by two or three goals, that's when they start to wake up. That's when everybody else starts to play their best hockey, and that's leading them to better results out there on the ice. That is what I consistently appreciate about this team, because they are reacting to the moment in the moment. It's not later that they're saying we need to make a change or we need to do something different. It's when it's happening, they are tightening up, they are making adjustments in real time and giving themselves a chance to get back into the game. It helps when you have guys leading the way beyond Mackenzie Blackwood, like a Mikael Granlund scoring a goal in last night's game, like a Tyler Toffoli scoring a goal in last night's game. But then we look at what we've seen in other games. We've seen other guys getting in on the scoring. Jack Thompson, as of late. We have seen, you know, other players start to score a little bit more, like Alex Wenberg. He's had a couple of overtime game winners. We saw Nico Sturm put the puck into a dangerous place with a little bit of help from Timo Meier getting a goal. That is what you want. You want your big players to be able to step up in the moment. you also want everybody else to be able to add and contribute to what the team is trying to get done. And it feels like the Sharks overall, while they still do rely on a few number of guys to be the majority scorers in Toffoli and Granlund and Zetterlund, you're starting to see more production across the board, and it just speaks to the belief that's there for the team. But beyond the specific belief, it's also just fun to watch the team respond in these games and be able to give themselves a chance, because they didn't have that ability to give themselves a chance in previous seasons. You know, that was when the teardown was still going on, but right now we're in the midst of the rebuild and building back to something more respectable and more consistent. And, you know, they are more consistent overall. If we look at, you know, what they did on this four-game road trip, they averaged a point out of every game, even if they only won one game on the trip. They still earned that point, or those 2 points in New Jersey, earned the point in Philadelphia, earned the point in Pittsburgh, and gave themselves a really good chance to walk away with a point in the game against New York. That is a high-quality trip for San Jose, and I would like to see that momentum carry home, but you know, right now you're just watching the team kind of come to life before our very eyes, and that's not to say that this is going to be like the 93-94 team that suddenly turns it around and takes it into another, you know, realm that we didn't expect of going to the playoffs maybe that season, especially after the 92-93 season, but I do think the Sharks are recognizing that they're not that far off from where they want to be. They're getting really good net minding, whether it's Vitek Vanacek or Mackenzie Blackwood, and more on Vitek in a second. They're also looking in that, you know, a team that's watching young players like Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. They were fun to watch last night, and they were making things happen. I mean, that's the thing that I consistently go out of last night's game. Even if Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini are far from complete products, they were active in the game last night when they were playing together. And that's really fun, and I think something we should all appreciate watching is that you've got two players who are young, who are learning the game in real time, but are still problematic for the opposition, jumping in on things. They are waiting, you know, for no one anymore. You're not looking at the same hesitance, especially in Will Smith's game that we saw, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. Right now, we're watching him look like he is ready to go in every single game. And guys, it's a lot of fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch. And I think, again, that's just indicative of the change that we're seeing overall with the team, the belief they have in themselves, the belief they have in each other, the way they're reacting to the messaging from the coaching. And that's why I'm excited to see what happens in these next three games when they're home for one, then on the road for two, and then back home for four. Because, again, watching this team, I have not known what exactly they're going to get into. I have not known exactly what type of game we're going to see. But now it feels like they're going to give themselves a chance in every single game, which was not at all the narrative if we go back a year's time. Now, the storyline that popped up out of last night's game was Vitek Vanacek exiting after the first period. I don't know what happened. There was one play where Thrun and he collided behind the net, but that didn't look like anything too significant. So, you know, that's just speculation. That's the one thing that I would say, well, if anything happened, maybe it was at that point, but that would look like an acute injury of something we could see from a collision. But, you know, you never know when he stretches a groin or a hamstring or a quad or, you know, just something, some sort of soft tissue injury that we couldn't see in real time. That would be the only other guess. Now, what that means, I'm just assuming, is that if he has to miss any time, that we would see Yaroslav Askarov from the Barracuda. And that, I think, is a very exciting prospect for everyone and speaks to one of the reasons why we've seen Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood be so good up to this point of the year, because of the organizational depth that they know that the franchise goalie that the team traded major assets essentially to get, they turned Tomáš Hertl into Yaroslav Askarov. This is a guy who's waiting in the wings and everyone thinks has a remarkable amount of ability. So yeah, that would be very interesting. And you know, I've always been expecting to see Askarov at some point this season. We assumed it would either be due to a trade or due to injury. And maybe this is the situation where we do see him. Now, last night, Askarov went up against a red-hot Calgary Wranglers team who put 4 on him on the way to a 6-2 win over the Barracuda. I haven't seen the game as of yet. I have not watched the highlights, so I don't know if those are on him specifically. Any goalie can have an off night. There were 2 empty netters that came on after the 4 that he had allowed, so it was a 6-2 final. But, you know, that's part of being a goalie. Some nights you are going to have a bad night. Whether or not he was the one that was directly responsible for that, I cannot tell you. But he did play yesterday, so even though the Barracuda do go again today, I imagine it would be Romanov going, and then we will see what happens in terms of Monday, whether or not it would be Mackenzie Blackwood, whether or not it would be Vitek Vanacek, if it's nothing major, or whether or not we're going to get a chance to see Yaroslav Askarov maybe in the Wednesday game, if they do play, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood again on Monday and wait for Yaroslav Askarov to go out onto the road. I would assume if they were going to give Askarov his first start, they would want that to come at home. You know, maybe I'm just speculating, but, you know, this is one that I overall look at and think to myself, okay, what's the most likely scenario? And that would be that Askarov gets a start on Monday, especially after we've seen Mackenzie Blackwood play five out of the last six periods of hockey, including, you know, overtimes and shootout as well. Other aspects out of last night's game that were relatively intriguing was the fact that we did see Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith on that line together with Barclay Goodrow. Now, that would not have been the line that I would have expected them to form. I would not have guessed that it would have been Goodrow up on that line. But you know what? It was relatively exciting, like I alluded to. But I think the other thing I paid attention to was that even though you are looking at a lack of defense with that line, if they do a good enough job of controlling the puck possession and keeping extended ozone time, then you don't have to worry as much about the defending, because if you're getting that team that's out there on the back heel, if you're getting them, you know, just defending for too long, then you are putting them in a situation where they're not going to be able to get as much going in the opposite direction. They're going to be tired from defending, and you don't have to worry as much about the defensive side of things. And, you know, I think that when looking at what we saw from the team by dropping Tyler Toffoli down as well and putting him out there on a different line, you obviously spread out the scoring a little bit, and Tyler Toffoli is such a good player that I think he can slot in anywhere, and the Lund line being up top, they've been so good and so productive as of late. It's just speaking overall to the greater depth and the greater balance that San Jose has right now to maximize what they're trying to do out there on the ice, and they have different guys that they can put in different positions, and you don't have to break up too much of having a fourth line that you're really proud of. You know, Nico Sturm was out of last night's game dealing with an upper body injury that we saw him have occur in the game against the Rangers, and I hope he's back sooner rather than later, because I love Nico Sturm's game, and he's such a hardworking guy out there on the ice, and he's a leader as well. But Clean Costin came in, didn't have an amazing game, but also didn't have a terrible game in any way, shape, or form. And we knew that Clean Costin needed to have a good performance just to show everybody that he can still perform. I still have hope for Clean Costin that he can turn into something greater than what we've seen. But for the time being, it's just a matter of watching and waiting to see what he can become. All right, let's get into some of those highlights from last night's game. We always want to hear some Dan Rusinowski when we can. It was the Rangers, just a minute into the game, who took control.
Faceoff dropped, jammed at, not cleared out by the Sharks, held in by the Pens. Here's Michael Bunting throwing it off the end boards for Yevgeny Malkin. And Malkin is able to tip it back to Bunting. He feeds behind the net to Brian Rust. Walks out near side, goes for the backhand, and he scores! Brian Rust, for whatever reason, loves to see teal and white sweaters. And his backhand shot will get through goaltender Vanecek. And it is a 1-0 Penguins lead, 1 minute and 1 second into the first period.
Not the start that San Jose was looking for, but it got worse.
Off the faceoff, Sharks tip it. Dellandrea, who's been very effective, couldn't clear it out this time. Here's a shot toward the net. O'Connor save, rebound, score! Well, right at the side of the San Jose net, just a basically an open tip-in for Jesse Puljujarvi. And all of that because of a face-off loss first. And then the opportunity to the net by O'Connor that glanced off of Vanecek and went right to Puljujarvi. And there was lots of space there to the right side of the Sharks goaltender. It is now officially 2-0 Pittsburgh, and there will be no offside challenge here.
So the Sharks reeling a little bit early on in this game, and then they would fall down by a third goal.
Faceoff drop, controlled now by the Sharks. Liljegren, forecheck there by Anthony Beauvillier. So it'll be Mario Ferraro coming over to provide support. He got it forward with Liljegren help on the right side. And Grundstrom wins a battle there, feeds to the middle of the ice. But Cunning probably wishes he were a left shot in that situation, and he lost it. Pens move back in. Carlson faked the shot, now moves into the right circle, turns, dropped it back. Here comes the shot from Crosby. Save made there by Blackwood. Rebound, Crosby, right point, shoots it again. Score! Goal number 599 in the career of Sidney Crosby. 3-0 Pittsburgh with 4:19 gone by in the second.
Now I'm going to have to ask Dan about this because I know, he, like any good play-by-play announcer, he loves to be a part of history. I'm going to say, Dan, when Sidney got to 599, did you think to yourself, well, if I could call number 600 and then watch the Sharks come back and get a point out of this game at least, I'd be happy. It crossed his mind. I'm going to make a bet that it crossed his mind. Dan always wants the Sharks to win. I have no doubt in my mind about that. but I guarantee it did cross his mind. Hey, I've got a chance to call number 600 now. But yeah, I mean, Sidney Crosby, what are you going to say about this guy? He's not slowing down. He is taking less money. He's kicking ass and taking names still at this point of his career. Pittsburgh should be better, by the way. That's one of the things that I'm amazed about. But, you know, they still are led by Sidney Crosby, who continues to be just an absolute stud out there on the ice and get it done year after year after year. But, hey, here comes San Jose. We've got Vitek Vanecek out of the game. No one knows what's going on there. I still don't particularly know. Then suddenly, Mackenzie Blackwood is making incredible saves. And then you've got Tyler Toffoli getting his first goal since the win against LA at home back on the 29th of October.
Notice they're starting the second power play unit here. The Sharks down 3-0, just trying to change things up. Here's Celebrini moving on the attack, down the left side, cross the Pens line, throwing it off of the stick. Will Smith in front, Toffoli, a backhand shot, and he scores! Wow, what a goal, what a play! Tyler Toffoli gets the Sharks on the board with a power play tally.
Yeah, Toffoli, again, he hadn't had a goal in a bit. He was due. I even said it on NBC last night. I said, let's see if this is the goal that gets him rolling. And then for the Sharks to continue their fight to get back into it, it was Mikael Granlund who scored to get them within one.
And here's Pittsburgh shooting. It hit Crosby, actually, and now the Sharks regain. Granlund is able to flip to his left. Knocked out by Eklund. Here's Zetterlin down the left. Makes the move across the line. Lead pass. Big wing in. Granlund shoots, and he scores! Mikael Granlund finishes it off, and it's a one-goal game. 3-2, Penguins still lead, but the former Penguin, Mikael Granlund, gets the crowd silent in astonishment.
As Dan alluded to making the fans silent there in Pittsburgh, they've blown many games from a leading position this year. So you have, you know, just about 7 minutes into the third period, a one-goal game. It's 3-2. Mikael Granlund, assisted from Fabian Zetterlin and William Eklund. And then you have Tyler Toffoli. He finds it again, 11:40, 3-3, we're all tied up.
Here's Wennberg, good defensive play, intercepts, gets taken down, falling to the ice, he poked it out, and here's Delandria moving on the attack. He dumped it in, and he gets taken out of the play there by Greslick, and the Penguins will push it out to center ice. Ruta backhands the other way. Here's Delandria, puts it off the boards to himself. He's got a man, Toffoli breaking in, gives him the puck, shoots, score! Tyler Toffoli just tied the game with 8:20 to play in the third. Great job by Delandria along the boards, and Toffoli gets things even.
And I'm just laughing at that point because I'm thinking to myself, hey, I thought they could come back into this game. I was hoping they could get back into this game, and lo and behold, just as they did in Philadelphia, and just as they did in New York, even if they didn't earn a point there, they got themselves back into the game and gave themselves a chance. Now, I can make a greater argument about the problems of them falling behind early in games, about the problems of them having issues in just, you know, handling situations on the road. But this was different than what happened against the Rangers. It was different than what happened against Philadelphia. This was just a game where Pittsburgh came out hot and then San Jose corrected and had a run of their own. They pushed it to overtime. You had Mackenzie Blackwood making incredible saves. The Sharks were thoroughly dominated in the overtime. The possession seemed like it was almost entirely in favor of Pittsburgh, and you keep on watching them roll out Hall of Famers, and it was like, my goodness, is this actually happening? But lo and behold, the Sharks forced it into a shootout. They kept on forcing themselves into later situations in the game. They forced it into overtime. They forced it into a shootout. They got a point when all was said and done. They didn't have it in the shootout, which, you know, I've told you guys before, I don't like shootouts. Last night didn't bother me as much because the Sharks earned a point out of that game. It was a well-earned point. They rectified mistakes they made over the course of the game. They got themselves back into it. Getting a point in that game is something to be proud of. I wish they had had a point in the game against the Rangers, but this was a game where they were, again, dealing with a multi-goal deficit late. They responded. They gave themselves an opportunity. They got the point. It didn't sting as bad. The Sharks still haven't won on a shootout yet this year, so they will eventually be due. But, you know, if you're going to lose to a team on a shootout, it might as well be to a team that's putting Hall of Famers out there seemingly one after another.
And so now the Sharks must score again. And it's going to be Alex Wennberg. He's been a hero twice in overtime. He can keep this going if he scores in the shootout. He's 25% in the shootout as he moves in with speed. He holds it, he waits, he shoots. Stick save made by Nedeljkovic. And so the game is over. The Pittsburgh Penguins will win this game barely by the skin of their nose as they get a 4-3 win in the shootout with a 3-2 score in the actual shootout session. But the Sharks pick up a very valuable lesson, but also a hard-fought comeback and 1 point in the standings. And so, 1-1-2 in four games. Not bad.
No, Dan, not bad at all. And again, a remarkable performance once again from Mackenzie Blackwood. A great comeback from the team overall. A huge night from Tyler Toffoli. There was a lot that you like out of this game, even if you don't walk away with 2 points. You only walk away with one. It was still the Sharks showing that they are a very different team from where they were, even on October 27th. You know, the change that we have seen in this team from October 28th to November 17th this morning is staggering, and it is wholly welcome, because I did not, you know, ever expect an 0-7-2 start to be part of the narrative of this year. It was, but now the Sharks continue to play better and better hockey. I'd love to see now what they can do at home. That'll be pretty fun to see in one game against Detroit, a team I think they should be able to beat. Then they go out on the road for two before being back home again for four. Right now, I'm excited to see what's next for San Jose. Let's hear from Mackenzie Blackwood after last night's game.
Like about 5 minutes before, so yeah, it's tough, you know. Obviously, you're cold and you have no feel of the game, so you got to go in there and try and get into the game quick. And typically, you know, I struggle with that in the past. You know, I've struggled to, you know, come off the bench and put up good performances. So I've been working on it, just trying to stay ready, be mentally, you know, dialed into the games. So yeah, no, it's never easy, and it's always a challenge.
Thanks to San Jose Hockey Now for the sound. But one of my favorite things there from Mackenzie Blackwood is how open he is about, hey, this has been an area of struggle for me, coming in cold off the bench in these games. I did my best to stay ready, mentally engaged. And, again, that's a hard position for any player to do when you're sitting there on the sidelines, when you're not, you know, in the game, and suddenly be said, hey, you're coming in. So you get warm, you do your best. But I think what he's acknowledging there and being open about is like, yeah, this is something that I had trouble with. I've been working to get better. And I love hearing that from guys. I love hearing a lack of, there's no shame. There's no, you know, trying to be prideful. It's, hey, this is an area of concern for me. It's something I needed to work on. And guess what? The results that we saw last night were particularly amazing for Mackenzie. He was phenomenal and gave the Sharks all the chances they need to get a point and or more out of last night's game.
Yeah, as the game went on, like you said, you settle into it. It's like you, you know, you get more comfortable as the game goes on. Like when you start the game from the opening puck drop, you're kind of in it from the warm-ups and, you know, the off-ice warm-up before the game and all that. So your kind of mindset is ready to go, whereas this is a lot harder because you're kind of a spectator and you're trying not to be a spectator, but it's kind of human nature. So you're kind of fighting that a little bit.
And I love this answer from Mackenzie Blackwood talking about where the team is right now and the importance of earning this point out of the road trip and coming back from 3-0 deficits twice. I think Mackenzie speaks to where this team feels they are right now, which is on the cusp of taking great strides.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're close to, you know, doing a lot of things good. We've made a few mistakes, but you know, it's really positive that this group never quits. I mean, like, every guy in here is awesome. Everyone, you know, goes to bat for each other. Everyone loves each other in there. So it's great locker room feeling. And hopefully, you know, we can continue to just kind of piece these together and build off it.
And I don't think that that's an overreach right now. I think they do feel like they are on the cusp of being able to do some impressive things. I do think that they feel like they are giving themselves a chance in every game. And for the guys that have been here for a bit, who have been in that situation when they have not been in every game, where they have not been giving themselves a chance, I'm sure they look at this right now and think to themselves, yeah, hey guys, we're getting back into it. We're giving ourselves an opportunity. We're giving ourselves, you know, chances to win and be in games and earn points. Whereas that was a much more rare proposition just 1 year ago. So the confidence is palpable. And I think we should all be excited for what's next from San Jose. And I think that head coach Ryan Warsawski is excited as well.
Well, I think in training camp we said we're not going to ever give up. We will never give up, ever, on what is going on in the hockey game. And credit to the guys, we stuck with it. It's a hole that we don't want to be in, and we're in it too often right now. But I give the guys a lot of credit to battling back and getting a point in this game where it wasn't looking pretty for a long time. And we got to look and find some ways to start on time. You know, I think there's times we start on time and then our game dwindles in the second and third, and there's times we don't start on time and we get our game going in the second and third. So we got to find some a 60-minute effort here soon.
Yeah, he's pumped because he's watching his vision come to life. We're out of time. I will see you on Monday as we get ready for Detroit. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.